This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Sciences of the Sunnah class. Today, inshallah, we'll try to finish the first semester with the types of writings and the methods of reception and delivery. We have two more issues to finish, inshallah. The first one, the types of the writings about the men or the narrators of the hadith. We have seven different types, and we started mentioning them yesterday, actually. We said the first type of writings is the books of companions. And the one that I like you to know is the last one by Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, Al-Isaba fi Ma'rifat al-Sahaba. He compiled 12,267 names in this book. Then we have the books of generations, like At-Tabaqat al-Kubra, Lil-Imam bin Sa'd, rahimahullah, who died in the year 230. And actually, volume 1 and 2, they are translated to English, so you could get them. He wrote all the names until his time, so it's a good book. The third type of writings is the general book or the general writings. Now we have the books of Tabaqat, they divided them to generations. We have the books of companions. Then we have general books. What do we mean by that? They talk about general people, whether they are companions or not. Whatever name you have, you open and you'll find it there. It is general. Example for this is the grand history, At-Tariq al-Kabir. Who wrote this book? Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Imam al-Bukhari wrote in every, almost every type of hadith, every science of hadith, he wrote a useful book. He wrote At-Tariq al-Kabir. He has 12,345 names of men. It's a great book. And he started with the name Muhammad, to honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his name was Muhammad. So he started with all the people that their name is Muhammad. Then it is according the alphabetical order. So if someone with the name Ahmed, you'll find it at the beginning. With the name Zayd, almost in the middle. Yahya, it should be at the end. And of course, he was very respectful, very soft. But once he says about someone, his hadith is not accepted, that means it will never be accepted. He was very respectful. Then we have another book called Improvement and Validation, Al-Jarh wa Ta'deel, Imam Ibn Abi Hatim Al-Razi, who died in the year 327. Now, again, this type of writings is about men. What do we mean by that? You wanted to verify this man, whether he's trustworthy or not. You don't know. This type of writing, it includes men who are trustworthy, and also it includes men who are weak narrators. That's why the name of the book is called Improvement and Validation, Al-Jarh wa Ta'deel. Okay? That's why number three, we said general books, because it could be someone who's companion, and the companions are out of question. We don't validate or invalidate their credibility. It could include liars. It could include trustworthy and reliable narrators. This is the third type of writings. The fourth type, specific books. What do you mean by that? We have several types, like Rijal al-Sahih, the men of Sahih, which means any man, he is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, you have to find it there in this book. The author came to the men of those sahih and he wrote them. The men of the six books, again, this is a specific type of writings. Any man, he is mentioned in one of the six books. Again, what are the six books? Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. Any man, he is mentioned there, you'll find it in this book. men of the six books. Al-Kamal fi Asma' al-Rijal. Imam Abd al-Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, who died in the year 600 of Hijrah, he wrote this great book, Al-Kamal fi Asma' al-Rijal. Al-Kamal means perfection in the names of men. He gathered all the names of all six books. After him, a scholar came, Al-Hafidh al-Mizzi rahimahullah, and he wrote Tahdhib al-Kamal. Tahdhib al-Kamal, almost 38 volumes now, Tahdhib al-Kamal. This is a summary of Al-Kamal. You could imagine, Al-Kamal was almost 50 volumes. Now Tahdhib al-Kamal, he summarized a little bit that book, and it came to almost 38 volumes. Tahdhib al-Kamal. Then, Tahdhib al-Kamal for Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the interpreter of Sahih al-Bukhari, he summarized the Tahdhib. And then he wrote another book called Taqrib al-Tahdhib. Taqrib al-Tahdhib, again, it was narrowed down. The same names. Again, it is the same names. It is the same names. What is happening? In the big volume, in the big book, you go there and they tell you everything about that man you need to know. His biography, his shuyukh, whatever. Now, you don't want all this. You check on the name to see if this man is reliable or not. What the scholar said about him. In the last book, Taqrib al-Tahdhib, it became only in one volume. I used to have it, it's not with me now. It's only one volume. You open the name, he tells you the name of the man, so and so and so, and then his degree. Saduq, thiqa, da'if. That's what you want to know. So it is there. But in the previous books, he tells you like his shuyukh, his students. Maybe you need this. In some cases you need it, but in general you don't need it. This last one, Taqrib al-Tahdhib, is enough for you. But again, we don't have these books in English because there is no use. There is no hadith study for the isnad. That's why maybe inshallah you'll take the precedence and you will start doing something about it. Number 5, books of thiqat. Books of thiqat. Which means any man in this book is trustworthy. He's not a companion, but he's trustworthy. الثقات للإمام العجلي. إمام العجلي, he came and he compiled all the names of the ثقات in one book that he knew. It doesn't mean that anyone, you don't find him here, is not trustworthy. Maybe, but the Imam did not know about him. Also, الثقات لابن حبان. There is a name missing here. Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, he wrote a book. Ibn Hibban, he has a book called Sahih Ibn Hibban. He also wrote a book, Al-Thiqat. Al-Thiqat only for the trustworthy narrators. We have also books of weak narrators. Any man who is mentioned there, he is a weak narrator. Al-Du'afa al-Kabir, the grand weak narrators for Imam al-Bukhari. Again, he wrote a book about Al-Du'afa. الضعفاء الصغير, also for Imam Bukhari. He wrote big book and small one. Then we have الضعفاء والمتركون, Imam النسائي. You know Imam النسائي, the one who wrote the Sunan? He also wrote a book about الضعفاء. You open the book, you find the name, and he tells you he is ضعيف, he used to lie. Or he is وضاع, he used to put the hadith against the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or he is متروك الحديث. He mentions weird things. Or he is weak because his sheikh said that he changes from him. Or you mention every name you will see mentioned there, you will find the reason why he is weak. We have Mizan al-I'tidal fi Naqd al-Rijal. This is a great book by Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah. So these are, don't think that these are all the books. We have lots of books about men. So let's go back. First type of writings, books of companions. Second type, books of tabaqat, generations. Third type, general books, like At-Tariq al-Kabir for Imam Bukhari. Fourth type, specific books, books of Sahih Hadith, books of the six Sunan or the six Sahah. Number five, books of Thiqat, and number six, books of Du'afa, weak narrators. And now, number seven, books according to specific places, like Tariq Baghdad, Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi. This is a great book. How? He is telling you the history, but there is an incident, and he mentions how it came to him, what happened on that year, who are the narrators, who are of them trustworthy, who are weak narrators. Tariq Baghdad, Imam al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. So these are seven types of writings in the books. Remember one thing, how did they start documenting the names of the men? How did they do that? You forgot? We just mentioned it yesterday. Yeah, but how? I did not say why they started documenting the names of the men. I said how. I mentioned yesterday, the first thing was the questions from the students to the shuyukh. Su'alat. Okay, now, we know how to find a hadith. And we know where to find the degree of each narrator. How to come to the conclusion of a total hadith, whether it is sahih or it is da'if. What do we do? I gave you an example. Do not enter the house if you are traveling in the night. What do you do? You want to find the hadith, and you want to find whether it is authentic or not. What do you do? Did I mention the name of the companion?
No.
Okay. What do you do? Yes. Do not. Do not. Is it rare or common? Okay. You look it up according to alphabetical order. What if it was not the beginning of the hadith? But let's assume it is the beginning of the hadith. Okay. Yes. What do we have? Chapter of traveling. Very good. This is another method. You may reach the same hadith through different methods. This is fine. It's possible. Many times it happens. Fine. We found the hadith. What do we do now? It is narrated in Musnad of Imam Ahmad. That's it. What do we do? Is every hadith in the Musnad, I mentioned yesterday, 28,199 hadith. Every single one of them is authentic? No, we want to know, is this hadith authentic or not? What do we do? Narrators, what? Sleep with the narrators, shake hands with them. What do we do, narrators? Research on the narrators. How? Exactly. We go to the books of men, each narrator. Let's say we have a chain of narrators, we have five of them. First of all, the companion. Do we check on the companion? No. How do we start? Do we start from the top or from the bottom? Means from the Messenger ﷺ or from the narrator? From the narrator. We start always from the narrator. First, we need to see the trustworthiness of the narrator. Okay? We looked through their biographies and they are trustworthy. So what do? The hadith is authentic now? Hello? All the narrators are trustworthy. So the hadith is authentic?
Maybe there's a shadh.
Shadh, another issue, accepted or not accepted. But now, all the narrators are trustworthy. I said they are trustworthy. Yes. Very good, Bazira. Is it connected or not? This is important thing. It has to be connected. So first, we check on the trustworthiness of the narrators. Are they mentioned in Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim? That's the advantage of the books of men of Sahih. If they are there, that means they are trustworthy, because otherwise Imam Bukhari would not mention them or Muslim. If not, do they have any hadith in the 6 books? Why do we do that? Let's say we hear the name and he already narrated the hadith in one of the 6 books. What does that help us with? If he is mentioned in one of the 6 books. Because we could go to Tahdhib al-Kamal, where details mentioned about all the narrators. Otherwise, we have to do lots of studies. If he is not, and most of the ahadith, almost 85% of the ahadith of the Messenger ﷺ are mentioned in the 6 books. Do they refer to him by name or nickname? Again, how you will look up the name? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Where do you go to find the name Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Hello? Alif. Is his name Abu Bakr or his kunya, his nickname? What's his name? Abdullah bin Uthman bin Amir. Where do you go? Do you go to Ayn or Alif? If the man is famous with his nickname, most likely he will be mentioned by his nickname, just like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Almost no one mentioned him by Abdullah bin Uthman bin Amir. But when you go there to Abu Bakr, they will tell you his name is Abdullah bin Uthman bin Amir. So is he mentioned by name or by nickname? Like Az-Zuhri. Where do you look up Az-Zuhri? What's his name? Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab. But most of the people know him what? With his family name, Az-Zuhri. Another example, Abu al-Haytham ibn Tihan. Abu al-Haytham ibn Tihan, he is one of the companions of the Messenger ﷺ. Or they mentioned the name like Sufyan. But how many Sufyans do we have? It's not a lot, but do we have more than one or not? Yeah, how do you know? He is this Sufyan or that Sufyan or Muhammad. If they said only from Muhammad, from Abdullah bin Uthman, how do you know which Muhammad? You have to go back to see the Sheikh and the names of his students, how many Muhammads of his students. And then you go back to the student of Muhammad. Who are the Shuyukh that start with the name Muhammad? And you start link everything. All these pieces have to be put together to come with the conclusion, who is Muhammad? Sometimes one hadith takes from you days. 5 hours a day for 10 days, just to know exactly the ruling of this hadith. It is sahih because all the narrators are trustworthy, all of them heard from each other. And sometimes it takes from you half an hour. And many times you don't even need to do anything because other scholars, they did all the job. Whether because it's in Sahih al-Bukhari or scholars later on, they have comments on this book. After we find the names and the level of each narrator, we need to know if they are connected or not. That's the important thing. Once we did that, then the hadith is sahih. But is it accepted or not? Then that's another issue. Maybe it is shadh. Okay. I'll give you one example. Just one example to practice. Imam al-Nasa'i, and I chose a hadith not from as-sahih. Why? Because if it's in the sahih, do you need to do anything? You know, already it is sahih. You just need to find it where it is. Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah said, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلِ بِنْ مَسْعُودِ عَنْ خَالِدِ بْنِ الْحَارِثِ عَنْ حُسَيْنِ الْمُعَلِّمِ عن عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال عندما فتح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة خطب قائلا. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم conquered Mecca, he gave a sermon saying, لا يحل لامرأة عطية بغير إذن زوجها. It is not permissible for a woman to give something without the permission of her husband. This hadith, we have it in Sunan al-Nasa'i. Now, is this hadith authentic or not? What do you think? Hello? It is? Why? Guessing? Why it is authentic? Based on what? What? Imam al-Nasa'i. Hello? So what do you think? Is this hadith authentic or not? Come on, we don't have time. What do we do? Yes, that's what I just mentioned. Check the narrators, go ahead. First of all, where is this hadith mentioned? Sunan al-Nasa'i, that will make our life much easier. Why? We have many books. We have Taqrib al-Tahdhib for Ibn Hajar, one volume. You go and you will find all these names. Or, you go to the big book, Tahdhib al-Tahdhib, or the bigger one, Taqrib al-Tahdhib al-Kamal. First we go. How do we start? From Imam al-Nasa'i. Who took Imam al-Nasa'i from? He took it from Ismail ibn Mas'ud. So again, we go to Taqrib al-Tahdhib for Ibn Hajar. In volume 1, page 74, he said what? Thiqa. What's the meaning of thiqa? Reliable and retentive. So, do we need to do any further study for this one? For this man? He is thiqa. Next name. Khalid ibn al-Harith. We go to the Taqrib again. Look at the name. Here, Ismail. Ismail starts with what in Arabic? With Hada. Alif, Ismail. Al-Khalid starts with the Kha. They are still at the beginning. That's why it is volume 1, page 74. It's almost the beginning of the book. Here, volume 1, page 212. What did he say? Thiqatun thabt. Thabt means strong. Now he gave him one description or two? Two. Do we need to do anything? He gave him actually extra, more than what we need. Thiqa is all what we need. He said, thiqatun thabt. Are we done with this one? Fine. Number three. Hussein al-Muallim. What's the meaning of Muallim?
Teacher,
exactly. Now we have a problem. Hussein the teacher. Muhammad the student. Who is Muhammad? You need to go to check all the names Hussein and who was described as a teacher. Not only that, who was described as a teacher and he taught Khalid or he took from Amr. This will make it easier, but it's not as easy as you think. You have his student, you have his sheikh, you have his first name. If it's Muhammad, you are in trouble. Because you may have 200 Muhammads. But because there is Hussein, it's not that common. How many of them were mentioned as teacher? Maybe two or three. So it's very easy. In the Taqrib, again, what did he say? ثقة with minimal delusion. Minimal. صدوق يخطئ أحيانا. له أوهام بسيطة. So what about him? He's okay still because he said ثقة. Yes, he's not like 100%, but he's still ثقة. You need to know the statements of the scholars. We go back just to be in the safe side. We go back to another book, Al-Khulasa. Al-Khulasa, Ibn said he is thiqa. So, in order to avoid any confusion, like here, with minimal, you want to be certain, you go to another book to see what the other scholars mentioned. Now, another scholar said about him what? He's thiqa, so he's okay, no problem. Number four, Amr ibn Shu'ayb. Amr ibn Shu'ayb ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. That's his full name. Amr ibn Shu'ayb. In At-Taqrib, he said about him what? Saduq. The term Saduq means what? Is he thiqa? No, he is less. So he is what? What okay? What type of okay? We need to know. So we go to another book. Al-Kashif lil-Imam al-Dhahabi. What did he say, Imam al-Dhahabi? He said, if he narrates from thiqa, then he is thiqa. So he gave us another ruling. That's the benefit of knowing all the sayings of the scholars. Because the first one he said, saduq. Don't know anything else. Now, he's saying if he narrates from thiqa, then he is thiqa. So we keep him on hold. We see he's narrating from whom? He's narrating from Shu'aib. Who is Shu'aib? Is his father. Shu'aib is his father. Because Amr ibn Shu'aib and Shu'aib ibn Muhammad. Shu'aib ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Again, in the taqrib, he said what? Saduq. Is he thiqa or saduq? Saduq. In Al-Kashif said he is what? Saduq. So now he did not really narrate from thiqa, he narrated from saduq. So what do we say about Amr ibn Shu'aib? Weak? You don't have whether he is thiqa or he is weak? Saduq, what's the meaning? Give me a figure or give me like something. Yes. Hassan, yes, now we're talking about Hassan. Not only Hassan, but high of Hassan, highest levels of Hassan. Why? Because here he says if he narrates from thiqa, then he is thiqa. So this man could be thiqa. But Shu'aib, they say he is saduq. So the hadith is still Hassan. Actually, this chain of narrators, Amr ibn Shu'aib, an Abi, an Jaddih, scholars differed about it. Many of them said Hassan. Some of them said thiqa. So, again, that's the reason why, because sometimes he narrates from thiqa. Although he is narrating from his father, they said there are some narrations he did not hear directly from his father. That's why we say he is saduq. Okay. Now, Shu'aib ibn Muhammad an jaddihi, who is the grandfather of Shu'aib ibn Muhammad? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. He is what? Companion. Do we check anything about the companion? No. So, after this study, by the way, this is very quickly. Sometimes you have, like, as I said, sometimes you have the name Muhammad or the name Abdullah and you spend. So, what's the ruling of this isnad? We have three thiqat. And we have two saduq. What's the ruling of this hadith? What's the degree of it? Hi, Hassan. So, do we say it's accepted or rejected? Accepted. It is accepted. It is Hassan. This is very brief example. You see how we do when we try to check on the narrators. But again, we don't want to spend more time because there are no books of Rijal really in English. We need another thing now. We said it is Hasan, it should be accepted. However, what if the text is odd, outlandish? We need to make sure of that, right? Because maybe the hadith, according to the narrators, it is Hasan, but it contradicts what we have in the Quran, or it contradicts an authentic hadith. What do we do in this case? Do we accept it or not? We don't accept it. We say the hadith, the degree of hadith is Hasan, but we don't accept it. What about the hadith? It says, a woman should not give a gift without the permission of her husband. Let's go back to the hadith. So what do you think about it? Your wife gave a gift to her friend and she did not tell you. Is this permissible or not? What does the hadith say? It's not permissible. So what do you think? Is there any contradiction with any text? Okay, hold on. You say she's not allowed or she's allowed? She's allowed to give money on his behalf. That's not his money, that's her money. That's what we're saying. That's her money, but she is married. What do you think? Hello? Contradicts what?
Because the wanted to give money from Khadija, he asked her permission. Or she gave him permission to use his money.
That's the opposite. He is using her money, but now she is using her money. Does she have to tell him or not? The hadith says she cannot do it until she tells him and he gives her the permission. Can a woman have money or not? Can she make trade or not? This money is hers or his? Hers. Does he have any right to take her money?
No.
So he cannot take her money. Why then he has to know where she is spending her money? Some scholars said this hadith is shadh actually. They did not accept it. They said it is outlandish. It is odd. Other scholars said yes, but again it contradicts one of the rules. If the money is free, if the woman is free to own her own money, why you ask her to seek the permission of the husband? I want to give my friend. It's not your business. It's my money. Another example, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he said, حَدَثَنَا عَبْدَ الرَّزَّاقَ عَنْ مَعْمَرْ عَنْ أَيُّوبْ عَنْ نَافِعْ عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرْ. رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غلاما يقال له أبا عمير فقال يا أبا عمير ما فعل النوير. Now I did not mention the hadith because again the purpose is what? To check on the narrators. What do we do in this hadith? We start from Abd al-Razzaq. Where do we go? Exactly, it's in the Musnad. It's not in the six books. But that does not mean we will not find this man in the six books, because Abd al-Razzaq, maybe he narrated a hadith. So we go. But again, who is Abd al-Razzaq? Did we mention his father's name? Well, how many people are named Abd al-Razzaq? Very few. Very few. And Abd al-Razzaq is the Sheikh of Imam Ahmad. So he's very famous actually. Abd al-Razzaq ibn Hammam al-San'ani. He is from Yemen, Abd al-Razzaq. Actually he has his own Musannaf Abd al-Razzaq. So he is famous, and he is of course fiqh from Ma'mar. Ma'mar, now since we knew this one will become easy. Ma'mar, who is Ma'mar? Ma'mar bin Rashid, again he is from Yemen. From Ayyub, we check on Ayyub and Nafi'. Nafi', he is what? The slave of Ibn Umar, the freed slave of Ibn Umar. He's famous. He's the sheikh of Imam Malik. So we may have only problem with Ayyub. We need to check on Ayyub. Who's Ayyub? Because Ayyub could be many or could be not that much. That's how you study the isnad. Is this clear? Okay. Now, our last topic in this semester, inshallah, in the hadith terminology, which is the reception and delivery. It is in the book, page 11. We have 8 methods of reception and delivery. What do we mean by reception and delivery? How you get the hadith and how you give it to others. Scholars studied even this thing, how you get the hadith from the sheikh, because this will affect on the authenticity of the hadith. Did you hear it directly? Or he wrote it to you, or it came to you through a third party. They reached that advanced level of documenting the hadith, how you received the hadith. And you received it by hearing from the sheikh, how you gave it to others, how the others took it from you. Recorded, written, verbally. This is important. Why? To know how the hadith came to you. Especially when you wanted to compare. Because if the hadith came to you from a third party, it's not like when you hear it directly from the sheikh. This will help choosing if there is contradiction, which one is more authentic. The first method, which is called sama'. What's the meaning of sama'? Hearing directly from the sheikh. Just like now, what you are doing with me? Hearing. Now, the students online, are they considered hearing? It is direct, but you could say yes and you could say no, actually. At the time of the scholars, they had similar thing. Now, there were women teaching, but they used to have some barrier. The companions, Aisha radiallahu anha, but they know that she is Aisha. So, if you are certain, now it is live. They could see the picture and they could hear the voice, so they are certain that they are taking directly. So, it could be the same. It's direct hearing. But now, let's say, they online, they mentioned something, and all of you mentioned something else. If someone came, which one he will take? You or them? You, because you are here directly. Online, maybe there was problem in connection. Maybe the voice was not clear. See when it helps? When you have two different words, two different things. So, what do we mean by sama'? Again, the sheikh is reading or he's talking, whether from a book or from his memory. And the student is listening. I heard him, whether you are writing or not. That's considered in the hadith the highest level of reception. Why? Because it is direct. It is from the sheikh, from the teacher. Now, you heard according to this method, what do you say to people? How did you take it? What do you say? No, what do you tell the people? How did you get it from your sheikh? Haddathani, exactly. Or haddathana. Or sami'tu. Okay? You say haddathana, I heard. حدثنا or حدثني. What's the difference between حدثنا or حدثني? I know, what's the difference? I heard, we heard. In this situation, do you say حدثنا or حدثني? In our situation. حدثنا, because there is many. If you are alone, you say حدثني. Okay. So it is حدثنا. That's the method of delivery. Since you heard it, you say حدثنا or سمعت. The second method is recitation or rehearsal. القراءة على الشيخ or العرض. It's the opposite. Now I am quiet, I am listening, and you are reading. Whether I nod or I tell you, okay, next. What is this called? Rehearsal or قراءة على الشيخ or عرض, recitation. Now this is the opposite. The student is reading to the sheikh. So what do you think? Is this method accepted in the hadith or not? If the sheikh is approving, what if the sheikh is silent? He is quiet. You are reading. He did not say anything. If he's not asleep, what if he was asleep? Or he's talking on the phone? What do you think? Actually, there is difference of opinions. Some scholars said this is actually stronger than the previous one. Why? Because now I may talk to you, and you may say حدثنا. But how do I know as a sheikh that what you are saying to others is correct? Maybe you are sleeping. While here, the sheikh is listening to you. So it is two ways. First, he wrote something, the student, and he is telling you what he wrote. So it is more confirmed. Unless it is wrong, the sheikh won't say anything. So he doesn't need to tell you. That's why some scholars said it is stronger. Other scholars said it is the same, just like hearing. It is also okay. It is approved. Other scholars said no, it is not accepted as a method of reception. Because what if the sheikh did not listen really, or he was busy with something else, or he was thinking of outside and he did not hear him? So which opinion do you think is correct? It is at least it is the same, if not stronger. So it should be accepted, no question. Read what Dr. Kamali mentioned about this method in the book. So this is method number two. How do you deliver? If you were the one who is telling the sheikh, and the sheikh approved it or he did not say anything, what do you say? Now the first one we said, حدثنا. Here, what do you say? قرأت عليه. I read to him. Or, he told us while reading. حدثنا قراءة عليه. Or, the term is used in hadith terminology, and that's what I want you to know, akhbarana. That's easier. We have haddathana and we have akhbarana. When you read in the books of hadith, what's the difference between haddathana and akhbarana? Haddathana, you heard from the sheikh. Akhbarana, you recited to the sheikh. It is akhbarana. Okay? This is the second method. The third method, which is called ijaza, or permission. Ijaza or permission. I give you permission to narrate from me Sahih al-Bukhari. I am giving you permission to read Sahih al-Bukhari. This ijaza is a bit confusing actually, because it is four types. It has four types. Permission to a specific person for a specific thing. I come to John and I tell him, I give you permission to teach the book of Akhlaq that I taught you in this class. What is this called? Ijaza. But it is ijaza for a specific person in a specific thing. The second type, permission to a specific person for a general thing. I tell John, I give you permission to teach everything you learned from this class. Be it akhlaq, be it aqidah, be it hadith. This is called what? Permission to a specific person for a general thing. You don't have to write everything, it's mentioned in the book. Number three, permission to unspecific persons for a specific subject. I say, I'm giving ijazah, I'm giving permission to all Histonians. They may be 4 million, they may be 5 million. There may be people coming after 10 years. I give them permission to teach the subject of akhlaq. This is number 3. Number 4, permission to unspecific persons with unspecific subject. I say, I give permission to everybody to teach anything on my behalf, from me. So they say, from Isam, he told us so-and-so. This is what is called ijazah. What do you think? What's the ruling of it? These 4 types. Is it accepted or rejected or what? Yes? Yeah, types. We have first, second, third, fourth type. The first two are better than others. But which one is accepted and which one is rejected? That's what we are looking for, not better or worse. Yes? That's correct. Actually, the first two are accepted, but the last two are not accepted. The first two are accepted. And the first one actually is very strong. When you give permission to someone. When do we have this? Usually, when does it happen? Even nowadays, with the Quran. After the Sheikh hears everything from the student, he gives him ijazah, permission, with the Quran. So it is a specific thing. It's the Quran, it's not everything. And according to a specific way for a person. Let's say someone memorized the entire Quran and he was so excited, he said, I give ijazah to every Muslim. Does it make any sense? Every Muslim will come and say, I have ijazah in the Quran from that sheikh. See, that's why number 3 and 4, they are not accepted. They should not be accepted. But number 1 and 2, they are accepted. So what do we say in delivery? Now we said, حدثنا and أخبرنا. In delivery here we say أنبأنا. 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 Or you say حدثنا إجازة. So now we have حدثنا, أخبرنا and أنبأنا. أنبأنا إجازة. أخبرنا rehearsal or recitation. حدثنا hearing or سماع. Okay? This is number 3. Number 4, munawala. Munawala literally means to hand out or to give something, presentation. To hand your own narrations to the student. I gave to him, John, and I told him, these are my narrations of hadith from my sheikh. What do we call this? Munawala. Because nawala in Arabic means he gave him or he handed him something. It could be combined with ijazah. John, this is my narrations. I give you permission to narrate it. Or, John, this is my narrations. So it has two types, whether combined with ijazah or not. Is it accepted or not? Yes? Why? He's giving the permission. What if he did not give him the permission? He just handed it to him. It's not accepted. No, actually it is accepted. If I don't want you to narrate from me, I don't give you from the beginning. Or I would tell you, don't mention them. So it should be accepted. Munawala. What do you say? Nawalani. He handed me. Or ajaza li munawalatan. Or he gave me permission through munawala. That's what you say in delivery. Nawalani or أجازني مناولة. Number 5, مكاتبة, correspondence. I am in Houston, some students in Canada, they said, we want your narrations from this sheikh whom you met in Middle East. And I wrote the letter, I wrote the narrations, and I sent them to them. Can they narrate these ahadith on my behalf? To write your own narrations or order someone to write for you. I wrote them to them, or I don't have time. I told John, look, you were with me, write all the narrations and send it to them. Can they narrate from me through correspondence? And again, I could tell them, look, this is my narrations, and I give you permission, anyone in Canada, to know that you took it from me. Or I just send it to them. They asked me and I gave it to them. So is it accepted or not? Is it accepted as method? Can they say from Isam by correspondence? No? Why? He did not hear it directly. Do they have to hear it directly? What about the ijazah when I gave it to him? Munawala. What do you think? Mukataba is accepted. Especially when I give permission. I'm telling you, narrate this from me. Even if there is no permission, why I wrote it to you? Unless I tell you, please don't mention it. It should be accepted. But what do we do? حدثنا كتابة. That's how you deliver it. He told us through correspondence. He told us through correspondence. Now from number 5 to the end, I don't want you really to know exactly what's the method of delivery. I care a lot about number 1, 2 and 3. Because that's what you find most in the books of hadith. حدثنا أخبرنا أنبأنا. What's the meaning of them? What's the method and how do you deliver them? Okay, this is number 5. Number 6, declaration, or what we call i'lam. I'lam. When the sheikh tells the student that he heard this hadith. You come to me and you tell me there is a hadith, and I tell you I hear this hadith from my sheikh, from his sheikh, all the way to the Messenger of Allah. Can you go and tell that you hear this hadith from me? When the sheikh tells the student then that he heard this hadith. Now, I told you I heard it, but I did not tell you go and narrate it from on my behalf. Is this an accepted method or not? Hello.
Yes.
Why? I did not tell you, narrate from me.
That's what Sheikh would be telling
me. Yeah, but I did not tell him, maybe not intentionally. He asked me and I told him. Well, it's still accepted. It's still accepted unless I tell you, do not tell anybody. Yes, I heard it, but do not tell anybody. Otherwise, it should be accepted. What do you say, أعلمني or أخبرني إعلاما? He declared to me. That's what we call إعلام. Number 7, وصاية, bequest. This is the 7th method. Wisaya or bequest. How this happens? I am traveling and I tell him, look, these are my narrations, or go there and you will find them. Leaving instructions upon departure for traveling or upon death to transmit a book or narrations on his behalf. I tell you, look, I may die today. I have operation, but there is a book of my collection. It is on that shelf or in that place. Could you go and take these narrations and go to people and tell them, I heard this sheikh or not? Hello?
Yes.
Why?
Because he has been giving you the books.
What if I did not hear all of them, but I have the ahadith? Use different term. Go to the book. Actually, that's correct. It should also be accepted. Otherwise, I don't choose you. I don't choose you. Number 8, wijada. Or what do we call finding? Wajadtu means I found. Now, this is not a bequest. You are digging through my books after I left or after I died. And you found a book of narrations. You find there, from me, from my sheikh, all the way. To find a hadith, that's the definition of it. To find a hadith from a sheikh that he did not hear from. Can you narrate according to this hadith, this method? Can you receive the hadith according to this method? No? Why? What about the books of hadith nowadays? The book, not me. Because I found the book. Book of Bukhari now. Who doesn't have the book of Bukhari? But did we hear it from Al-Bukhari directly? Can I say I took it from Al-Bukhari? Well, you can. It is Al-Bukhari, but it's not from you directly. Okay? So these are 8 methods of reception and delivery. It is in the book. And with this, we reach the conclusion of this subject, the hadith terminology. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.